Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. This is a first for me. I am doing the show from my basement. I'm in Timnath, of course. The roads were terrible. So my wife talked me into staying put. I've got the equipment down here, so it should be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. A first for me, for sure. My son will probably come in here at any minute right when we start this thing. Joining me on our First Advantage Hotline, UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn and UNC Head Football Coach Ed McCaffrey. Guys, first off, are you staying safe out there? You're not driving around too much, are you?
Not too much for me.
No, Brady, I'm in my house. You're in your basement. I'm in my house, which is a stone's throw away from campus. Been living here all year. My wife Lisa and I are here with our dog. Campus is all shut down, so I'm doing the show from my house as well. But we're also celebrating an incredible day for UNC football, signing day, adding a lot of wonderful young men to our program.
Yeah, and Darren, of course, I know this is an exciting day for you guys as well, and I want to get into that side of it as well on signing day. So many great names. I've got the list pulled up in front of us here, so I want to get into that process. But, a little snowy out there. First things first, guys, and I know you were on Gail Fallon's show, Mornings with Gail, on Monday. You've no doubt read the article that everyone's talking about with the Greeley Tribune, written by Jaden Watson Fisher. Let me just ask you, Darren, I'll go with you first. Were you shocked by the article when you read some of these comments from these anonymous players?
I was certainly surprised by it. I mean, she had sent us an email prior to asking for a comment, so we provided a comment, but I was surprised to the detail and the approach that she took in her article, for sure.
Ed, how about you, Coach? When you read this, and I know listening to you, and you know, it's personal. These are your guys. These are your players. So what was it like? Talk about the emotions going through reading that article, seeing some of those quotes.
Yeah, you know, as a coach, we want everyone to have a wonderful experience. You know, college football is a really competitive environment. And I knew when I took the job, I have to make tough decisions, right? Who starts, who plays, the amount of their tuition assistance. Like, there's a lot of important decisions. I've been running camps for like 20 years. I love camps. Love camps, Brady. I high-five people. We got our summer camps coming up this summer again. And everybody gets a T-shirt. Everyone gets a prize. And everyone has fun and gets coached. It's different in competitive football. You do have to make difficult decisions as a head coach. So obviously not everyone's going to be happy, but you know, we encourage our players to, you know, if you have something to say, put your name on it, look a coach in the eye. Don't be afraid to have that conversation. And you know, if you don't have anything good to say, you know, don't say it. Maintain your character, maintain your integrity. And that's what we emphasize. But you know, the portal has opened up a whole new environment for players who can leave a school if they think there's a better fit for them somewhere else, academically or athletically. But it's also a two-way street. Like, I'm looking at some of the guys we're getting right now. You know, we got Wyatt Blake from Northwestern. You know, he has 14 games under his belt, a Big Ten experience. We have a couple of state champions from Chandler. And I know we'll talk about this a little bit later. I think a great testament is Kylan Woods, Cassidy's younger brother. Cassidy, obviously, our leading receiver last year. Now his younger brother, we got two Woods in our program. So, you know, we have our morale on our team right now is the highest I've ever seen it. I was in the weight room the other day, and guys are going crazy. Guys are celebrating. And you know what they told me? Like, Coach, can we please just concentrate on the guys that are here in the weight room, the guys in the locker room, the guys on our team? You know, we just want to move forward, and we're really excited, and I'm really excited. And I'm excited to add all these new incredible players to our team today.
And you're right, Coach. I mean, the transfer portal, I don't know how you guys keep it straight. I mean, it is like the wild, wild west. You see names coming and going like crazy, and certainly want to get into that side of it. The big one here, and again, a lot of the stuff in the article, guys, in this Greeley Tribune article, and we talked to Jaden on Monday's program. And the big one, of course, is the financial aid process. And Darren, you know, you can obviously both can speak on this so well. But I think when you read this article and you read these quotes and from these anonymous players, some people look at that and go, oh, so a coach can just willy-nilly at the FCS level raise and lower the aid, the financial aid. Darren, I think that this is a great opportunity for our listeners. If you can take us through this process of just how much more complicated this whole process is than maybe the article led it on to believe.
Sure, absolutely. It is a very complicated process, and that's why we have some great people in our athletic department as well as across campus that monitor all of these different aspects that are part of the financial aid process. But, you know, I think the misnomer, and I felt like it was a part of the article a little bit, was that, that coaches can arbitrarily make decisions on financial aid at any point for any reason. And that's simply not the case. The NCAA is very detailed about the reasons why they can. And that's very clear in our aid agreement. I mean, it's very detailed. We also meet with every team prior to the season and go over that, why aid could be taken away. And so there's a lot of communication about it. But coaches cannot, just to be really clear, there are multiple people, multiple layers involved, and people on campus that are intimately involved in this process. So if for some reason the coach came to us and said, hey, I want to cut this guy, we're always asking why. What are the reasons to make sure it fits within what we feel meet the NCAA requirements? So we go through a pretty detailed review, whether it's Coach McCaffrey or any other coach on our staff. We have a lot of discussions about that throughout the year among all of our sports. But quite frankly, bottom line, we don't cut aid very much, rarely. The biggest reason I think we cut aid is when, and this is clearly in our aid agreement, and the student athletes are aware of this, if their academics drop below a 2.25, that is one reason that we cut aid. And usually if we do, it's minimal. That's the last thing we really want to do is cut aid, because some of these guys really need it, or gals. But it's a way to reinforce the importance of academics. And so there's just a number of reasons that we can, but it just seemed like the article focused on coaches cutting aid, and that just isn't the case.
We're talking to UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn, UNC Head Football Coach Ed McCaffrey. The last one on that, and I just highlighted this, and again, these are all anonymous players. In the article, she gives them different names. And as you know, this paragraph with Mark, allegedly he said he was one of those students that said basically his percentage was decreased as far as his aid, and neither he or his family was notified. And what you're saying is that's just not possible. And you know, from the research I've done on that side, again, any time aid is reduced, a student-athlete receives a letter from financial aid notifying them of the reduction. Student-athletes also can apply any reduction, cancellation, and aid. So, again, you're getting that paragraph there, and it's like that's not the case. That couldn't have happened, not possible.
I
don't want to go that far. Brady, I want to be really clear. I mean, there are people involved. There are many steps involved, multiple people involved. And so could a step have been missed? Certainly. No one is perfect. But I feel really confident about our process and the steps that we take to ensure we follow the NCAA rules. It is really important, not just to athletics, but also to our financial aid office. They're very good at what they do, and they're very detailed. And I feel really good about our process, and I don't think any steps were missed in these cases. I think communication was made verbally and in writing. So it's hard to talk about examples of student athletes that she mentioned in the articles. We don't know names, and there are all kinds of circumstances involved. And so it's really hard for us to comment on some of these individuals that she suggests because of just the different circumstances involved. But I'm confident we have followed the NCAA rules. Now, we're certainly looking into it. Anytime we have an allegation, we want to look into it to make sure our processes are perfect. And so we're certainly doing that.
Coach McCaffrey, Brady, I just wanted to say something.
Yeah. I just want to jump in real quick. So, Darren, I 100% agree with Darren. I agree with everything you just said. I want to explain, though, my role. I just have one small part in this. You know, I can determine what tuition assistance players get when they get to UNC, but the only reasons tuition assistance would ever be reduced with the cooperation of our compliance department is if a player's GPA drops below a 2.25, and even then it would only drop no more than 25% of what their tuition assistance was. Our compliance department, I work with them very closely, and they told me the first day I was on campus that we represent the players. They said, we'll work with you, but we represent the players. So everything I would do would go through our compliance department, who has the best interests of the players at heart, and they are really good at their jobs. You know, I don't have anything to do with enrollment. I don't have anything to do with the bursar's office. You know, these are all separate departments in the school. But I have clearly communicated with every single player, their tuition assistance. It's only been reduced a very few number of times because of players that were really struggling academically. And again, that's an academic incentive to do well in the classroom. Our football players are student athletes, and we expect them to perform in the classroom. So there is an academic incentive. Other players are entitled to scholarships for academic success. You know, players that have over a 4.0 qualify for other types of tuition assistance, which is great. And we raise the tuition of our players much more often than it would ever be reduced. So it was clearly communicated to everyone that got additional tuition assistance. It was clearly communicated by me, at least, with everybody that had their tuition reduced because of struggling in the classroom. And then the only other reason would be conduct detrimental to the team. Obviously, if a player were dismissed, and that's only happened once since I've been here, by the football team, then it would have, there would be a track record going over the course of several months and several in-person meetings and email confirmations before anything like that would ever happen.
We're talking to UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn and UNC Head Football Coach Ed McCaffrey. Just a couple more on this story, and then we'll move on. Players also, so moving past the financial aid side of it, this stuff is, again, you get into this with transfer portals. I think you could look at a lot of schools and probably get a handful of kids saying that they're not crazy about the coaching staff, the culture. In this article, you do have anonymous players speaking out about the culture, the overall football philosophy, the buy-in. And Coach McCaffrey, I just want to ask you, what are your thoughts there when you read those comments talking about, you know, your overall football coaching ability and your buy-in, the culture surrounding the program?
Yeah, I think our culture is the highest it's ever been since I've been coach here. I went to cancel a workout the other day because of weather, and I got just an overwhelming outcry from our players that they didn't want to cancel the workout. We want to work out. And so workout was back on. You know, we have a lot of wonderful players on our team. We have guys like David Hogue, All Big Sky, FCS All-American, Joe Golden, Zach Angelillo, Brooks Talkington. I mean, all these guys who are leaders on our team are saying great things about the program. And I don't know, maybe you know, people should talk to them as well. I think the other thing, Brady, is nobody in the article is anonymous to me. I want to make that clear. I know who everybody is because I have had these same conversations with the players before they left the program. So I understand not everyone's happy. I understand that maybe this isn't the perfect fit for everybody, but it's certainly the fit for a lot of wonderful players who have great attitudes and work really hard, and I'm blessed and proud to be their coach.
Again, we're talking to UNC football coach Ed McCaffrey, UNC athletic director Darren Dunn. We had planned to do this in studio. None of us are there, so we're all remote at this point. Guys, what's the next step in this process for you? Do you look at those quotes? And Coach McCaffrey, you said, hey, I've talked to these players. They said the same things to me. Do you look at it and say, okay, I want to edit some of my approach moving forward? Or are you guys both pretty comfortable with how things are going and what you're ultimately doing with your program?
I'm extremely happy with what we're doing. Oh, go ahead, Darren.
Go ahead, Coach.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm extremely proud. You know, I don't do a good enough job of sharing the wonderful stories within our program. We have the two biggest capital improvements in the history of the school. Darren and I work very hard with alumni and some wonderful people at school to build our Empower Center. It's the new state-of-the-art weight room we're putting in. We put a new turf field in our stadium. You know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Darren and I know we're working on other projects. We've recruited some incredible talent to this program from schools like CU, CSU, Air Force, the Naval Academy, Michigan, Duke, Washington State. The talent level is at an all-time high. The camaraderie is at an all-time high. Like, I knew when I took this job, we got no votes to win one game. You know that, Brady. Every coach in the Big Sky voted, said we wouldn't win a game. We won one more game than the team before, despite the fact that we were going through a global pandemic, and we lost 25% of our team after the Lamar game, including one coach for the year and two coaches for 5 weeks. Limited resources, limited facilities, a global pandemic, and our team still fought through to the bitter end. I'm so proud of our guys. We continue to add talented, hardworking, you know, young men with dignity and character and integrity, you know, and and leaders from the various high schools and other FBS programs. And I can't do this alone. Me, this is Darren. This is our entire university, our alumni, our donors, the community, you, Brady. We all play a part. Like, I took this job because I love UNC. Why do I love UNC? I love UNC because I spent 9 years up here as a Denver Bronco. I lived in the dorms. I ate in the cafeteria. And when I was asked to take this job, I did think about, is this something I want to do? Do I have the energy to turn around a program? And I thought to myself, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to try to turn, what had been a really struggling football program into a championship football program. Now, is that going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. We're going to have to fight through some adversity. But it starts with people. I love our coaches. I love the people on our staff. I love all the people, starting with Darren, who have supported me and have given me the ability to grow this program. I bought a house here. I live here. My wife and I live here right now with our dog as well. And we're, trying to immerse ourselves in the community. We're trying to build the program. I donate a lot of my own money to the program to help support the needs of our program. So, this is a wonderful community. And I feel like, the global pandemic and COVID has affected a little bit our ability to communicate and to relate and my ability to get to know as many people as normally maybe I would have. But I'm working hard, Brady. I want you to know that. I am dedicated. I got both feet dug in. I am working hard to turn this program around. But it's going to take a village. It's going to take me. It's going to take our players, our staff, you, donors, people in the community. And I'm just encouraging everyone to stick with me and help me do this. Let's do it together.
We're talking to UNC head football coach Ed McCaffrey, UNC athletic director Darren Dunn. Let's move on to the exciting time, guys. Signing day today. Let's talk about some of those names. And obviously, when I read these names, I mean, I see some pretty interesting names, some exciting names on this list. What was this process like? And, going through that, again, you have the Greeley Tribune article out there. You have some of this negative stuff out there. Did that affect this process in any way?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. We've been recruiting some of these players since, if they're transfers, since they entered the portal, or if they're high school players, we've been recruiting them for a couple of years. And we've developed great relationships with them. So let's just start alphabetically, because I'm so proud of these guys. I mentioned Wyatt Blake real quickly. This guy's played 14 games at Northwestern. I don't remember the last time UNC has ever had this many FBS players join their program. I don't know if people have kept track of it, but Wyatt Blake, dude, this guy is athletic, versatile, is bringing Big Ten experience. He's adding just some toughness and talent to a great group of guys up front. A couple of weeks ago, he FaceTimed me. He had his shirt off on the beach with some sunglasses. He looked like he just left the weight room, looking all yoked, and he was so excited to be a Bear. We're so excited for Wyatt to be part of our family. We got Jaden Latua. He's from California, listed as a linebacker. 6'2", 15. Another, he's a team captain, right? These are the kind of guys we want. He's a leader. He's physical. He is not afraid to hit. But he can really be a safety also, box safety. He can play all over the place. But he closes on the ball really quickly, and he's going to make our defense better. We play a lot of defensive backs in our conference because of all the teams that pass so much. So we're talking two corners, two safeties, nickelback, dimeback. We also brought in Noah Mangum. This guy, student body president. I'm mentioning that first. Student body president, right? How impressive is that? Now let's talk about his football skills. He's got ball skills. He's a playmaker, super fast and explosive, runs a 4.41, 5'11", 180 pounds. Another leader and a guy that's going to definitely add talent to our secondary. Frankie Morales from Chandler. Chandler's one of the most successful high schools in the country, not just the state of Arizona. 5'10", about 170. He's a first-team All-State player. He had a lot of other offers. Another captain of his team right at Chandler, one of the most successful high schools in the country. Great instincts, outstanding quickness. LaDavian Osborne, he's a taller defensive back, 6'2", 174 from Texas. And, in our league, we have tall receivers, smaller receivers. So just like you have your shorter, quicker receivers and your taller receivers, you need defensive backs like that. But LaDavian he's 6'2", he's fast. He's an all-district player. He's great at breaking up the ball. He can also, he's long, so he can break the ball up, but he also can pick it off for you, and he's a super competitor. Alfred Smith, another DB out of Arizona, Chandler High School, another guy that's used to winning championship football there in Chandler. And quick, fast, can cover three-star athlete. We have a lot of three-star guys coming to our program, which is a real compliment. These guys are, he's competitive, he's talented, and Alfred, just like our other DBs, not afraid to hit. You know, our DBs are not guys that think that their shoulders are for suits. These guys are not afraid to mix it up. Rocco Traore. Rocco is one of my favorite guys. He looks like he's got a college body already. Explosive, great vertical jump, another three-star DB. You know, we have some openings in the secondary. We have great competition there, and a lot of guys are going to touch the field. We think he has really, really big upside. Rocco's a stud as a human being and as a football player. Kylan Woods, again, we talked to, you know, Kylan stands on his own. He's 6'1", 180, runs a 4.5. He's smooth, great route runner, incredible hands. But I also think it's such a great testament that, you know, Cassidy's younger brother is coming to join our program. Cassidy obviously has had a wonderful experience. He was our leading receiver last year. We relied on him heavily, tough, talented. And Kylan, they're a little, they have different body frames and different styles, but both incredibly talented. So, you know, we joke they can tear up the grass now at UNC instead of in their own backyard. So we're really excited about, and we have more, you know, we have got different time zones that we're dealing with. So these commits are coming in. I'm not allowed to mention names until the paperwork is actually in, so I'm going to wait on some of these other names, but they'll be coming in throughout the day, and we definitely, and the players on our team, you know, because we've talked about it, they're not afraid of competition. Matter of fact, their arms are open. They are welcoming these guys. They can't wait for them to get on campus and welcome them to our team.
Coach, last one for you on all those names. And again, I love. I mean, Rocco, that's just a football name, isn't it, man?
Isn't it
just makes sense. How many of these guys? And I always ask this question when it comes to signing day. How many of these guys do you look at and say they're going to make an instant impact as far as next season goes?
Well, you know, everything on our team is earned, not given. And, you know, we know that. You know, I, as a football coach, have to play the best players on the field. So if a transfer player joins our family, we are expecting them to contribute right away, but they have to go earn it. We have some great players on our team. But obviously, if you're a transfer player, you probably have a couple years under your belt. You probably have a couple years under your belt in a college weight room. If you have other, you know, FBS experience, that's going to help you. I mean, naturally, you're older, you're bigger, stronger, faster in a lot of cases, and you have more experience. So they're probably better positioned to contribute right away. When we build our roster, we also have to build for the future. And so a lot of the guys coming in out of high school, some of them, believe it or not, they're different ages. You could have a 17-year-old coming in, or you could have a 19-year-old coming in as a freshman. So some of them are more mature than others, and you can tell that. But there's other players that have such huge upside. Like you see, hey, in a year or two, they're really going to be a player. And so we're not just building for 1 year. We're building, you know, for 4 or 5 years. And so that's why we need a great combination of experienced players who are, you know, college ready, and younger players who just have a huge upside. So I think we did a good job of bringing in, you know, all different types of players that are all talented in their own right.
Well, if folks want to learn more about these players, too, I know the information and bios will be available at uncbears.com. We'll share it on our site as well, some of these great players we're looking forward to. Guys, as we wrap this thing up, obviously an interesting day. It's not, we weren't just talking about signing day, talking about that Greeley Tribune article, but as you guys turn the page, look forward to that next step. I know you're both excited to grow this program, see what you can do. I mean, Coach, you've been the head coach for 2 years, only one season under your belt. So I know you're both ready to move on and just get this thing going and turn this thing finally get this program to where you want it. And Darren, again, we appreciate your time, my friend. I know you guys are busy trying to figure stuff out and rock and roll, but we do appreciate you jumping on.
Of course, thank you. We're happy to be on anytime.
Thanks, Brady.
Coach, yep. Thank you, guys. We'll catch up with you very soon, and look forward to reading more and more about these new players coming to the University of Northern Colorado. That was UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn and UNC Head Football Coach Ed McCaffrey. My thoughts, my reaction to the chat, we'll get to that next. We're also going to talk more signing day as players are coming in like crazy to both the University of Northern Colorado, Colorado State, and Colorado. So we'll get to all that and more coming up next on The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.